The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we have Chew Nee Weng, Managing Director of QES Group, which is set to list on the ACE market on March 8th. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
QES Group, you're involved in the distribution of inspection, test and measurement equipment, materials and engineering solutions. Quite a mouthful there. So flesh it out for us. Help us understand your core business.
For us, we are distribution in business in the early stage. So we distribute the precision equipments, consists of mainly in the areas of inspection, tests and measuring. Of course, we have many other types of high-tech equipments, but primarily, these are the three core that we are in. Of course, we also do, like you said just now, in terms of distribution of materials and parts, you know, and so engineering solutions. Mm-hmm. Now, that is subsequent areas that we actually expanded into. In terms of materials, they are all used in the primarily in the semiconductor industries. Again, you know, to a layman, you know, how much do you know about manufacturing of ICs? So we are in this field as well. So we know exactly those customers of us. They are either in the back end, we call it, which is like the test and assembly people. Mm-hmm. For example, the Unisems and the Carsems and the Inaris, I mean, the local boys here. Mm-hmm. And of course, you have that front end, which is the wafer fabs. And those are, you know, like, for example, Sutera in Kulim or XFAB in Sarawak or Osram in Penang, Infineum in Kulim. So those are the front end, you know.
So it's not just semiconductors. Your products also carried in the automotive industry, I believe also in E&E, correct?
The three primary market segments that we have. Of course, we do cover other areas, but primarily means it's like a big chunk of our revenues come from these three market segments. Mm. As you said, automotive, you know, we are supplying equipments to the automotive segment. Per se, it's not like, not everything automotive, you know, like the Toyotas or the Hondas or the, you know, all this, but also their tier one supply chain, you know. Mm. So when I say the tier one supply chains are those people like, for example, making the radiators like Denso, the spark plugs, NGK, you know, or the people who mix cables, you know. So these are, you know, a whole chain of automotive and related. Even metal makers, you know, those mix metals for the engine casting. So those are our clients, you know.
Great overview there, and we'll dive deeper into your business in just a bit. Let's talk about your listing then. So what's the rationale for listing now?
Getting a company IPO is another milestone for QES Group. You know, this company is already 26 years old and still going strong, I hope. The timing of it is we want to do it so that in a way, you know, we want to have a more visibility. You know, when you go IPO, you have a lot more exposure. Mm. And our clients, our supply chain, our associates or our financial institutions or even investors, they'll look at us at a different manner compared to a Sinjan Berhad. So we are doing it now. Of course, as I said, we want to do some expansion, which I'll talk a little bit more on our future prospects in terms of getting the proceeds, you know. So no specific reason, just one of the plans that we put in place, and then we are ready. We find that time is to move up the chain, and we should do it, you know.
Right. And how much did the prospects of GE14 weigh on the timing? Did you want to get it done and over with before the elections came?
Good question. I think we have no doubt that the GE14 will probably have some influence on the market in terms of the stock exchange and all that. Yes, but as a company, I believe that we are not really impact heavily, you know. So in a stock and exchange market, yeah, I cannot predict, you know. It's all like market sentiments and confidence. But in terms of running the business into the QES Group, basically our business, we are not significantly affected by any of these political changes and all that. Mm-hmm. Which probably I can stress a little bit more later on in terms of the diversity of our revenue base, you know.
Sure. Now, expected market cap though, 144 million ringgit. Was there ever a thought that maybe you guys should wait for a little bit, you know, until you qualify for the main market and just go and join the big boys as opposed to listing on the ACE market initially?
Yeah, okay.
Because I believe you have mentioned in other media briefings that there are plans to eventually move QES Group up into the main market, correct?
All right. And that's a good question, Han. Again, as I said, the timing of it, I mean, this process of getting the company IPO, it takes a little bit longer than I was expecting. But as we move along, of course, we chalk out the results. I mean, the numbers, I mean, the profits and all that. So as we chalk up the numbers year in, year out, then we notice and we realize that, we are actually quite close to meeting the main board market criteria in terms of the profit numbers, you know. And of course, it's just a decision. Should we delay it another year or two, or should we go ahead, you know? So finally, we think that we wanted to move ahead with ACE. And maybe from then on, we can look into transferring to the main board, you know, in the near future.
But there will be costs incurred when you transition up to the main market, right? So you're willing to take that just in order to raise those funds now?
I mean, definitely there are some costs incurred, you know, but again, as I said, if you want to move a little bit up the chain, then of course you have to take the necessary impact. But we think it's worth the effort, you know, because when you move to the main market, people look at it, from ACE to main, there's a significant movement, and also potentially the company is probably, you know, better prospects, you know.
Now, let's dive into your numbers. And pretty impressive here. Net profit for the first 9 months of 2017 grew almost 86% on year to nearly 12 million ringgit. So what were the factors behind that growth? 86% on year.
2017 was a good year. As I mentioned earlier on, we were also very much involved in the semiconductor environment. So, and if you look at all the market reports out there right now, I think semiconductor had a good run in the last year and a half even. So those are all a client base, and they are probably, when they expand, then they need our types of equipments. And the reason why they expand, of course, you know, is very, very exhaustive and very expensive, in the sense that, you know, everybody wanted to have a smartphone in the early days. So it drives all these IC volumes up significantly. And then you have IoT coming in. That also drives the semiconductor business. And now we're talking about electric vehicle. And that is significant, because every electric vehicle, inside of that vehicle, has got lots of IC, automotive ICs. So, and our customers are in that sphere, in that realm. And that's where we also benefited from that chain, you know.
But for the potential shareholder listening out there, can they expect this kind of growth momentum to continue moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, you can see our manufacturing division, we are heavily involved in that segment. So we are growing. We're growing in the strong on the manufacturing side. And that helps because manufacturing our own product lines and going out into mainly in the semiconductor areas. And I expect the semiconductor, based on all the reports that I read, the first half is definitely not an issue. Momentum is still strong. But I couldn't go further than that, because the second half, you know, just anybody's guess. But looking at the long-term potential of the industry, you know, in terms of the requirements, the ICs and the EEVs and all that, so we think, you know, it's pretty much a longish, bullish type of momentum going forward.
And do you have any earnings goals for 2018?
We of course internally we do forecasts and all that, and we hope that we can have a better year 2018, you know, with the listing in place, you know.
Any numbers attached to that?
I would think I'm very optimistic, but
still double-digit growth, 86% on year?
Cautious.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, that's the right word.
Man, if I got a dollar for every time I heard that phrase. All right, so it appears that your growth is very much reliant on global trade. Is that a fair assessment to say it, or are there plenty of domestic drivers here for QES Group?
Okay, another very good question. I would think our customers are all export-driven, global trade. But I don't discount some potential in the domestic area because we also have customers in that segment. Let's say, you know, automotive, yeah, then you have a metal. The people that mix all these metal things to become a sub-chain of that requirement, that is considered local demand in Malaysia or in ASEAN countries. Each of the countries that we operate in, they have their own local demand. So we are also having some part of that business. But in terms of global trade, it's significant. Those are the ones that actually drives the even domestic demand. You know, let's say, you know, the whole world, I mean, like a lot of people said, if the U.S. Like sneezes, then we here in Asia will get the flu or something like that, to that expect, you know.
Right. U.S. sneezing aside, in just a bit, we'll get into some of the challenges and potential risks that you may face as you try to expand your footprint beyond Malaysia. I'm speaking to Chu Ni Weng, Managing Director of QES Group, right here on The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Breakfast Grill. I am Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Chu Ni Weng, Managing Director of QES Group, which is set to be listed on the ACE market on March 8th. Now, we understand you're also looking to tap into the US market. You already have a presence in, obviously, Malaysia and several ASEAN countries, Hong Kong as well, and the US, right? Perhaps even this year. So given the protectionist stance from the current U.S. administration, how much does that concern you?
Again, this I would think with the new administration of President Donald Trump, you know, he has probably made it, like, make America great again. So all these manufacturers, high-tech manufacturers, he wants to bring it back to the States. Mm. There are already several announcements, even foreign investors, like, you know, the Broadcom people and the Foxconn and all that, they are actually, you know, putting in money to set up factories in the States, you know. And that, of course, in return, will generate some potential for QES Group because we have our own products. And in the future, we may look into that as well because eventually, if US becomes so protectionist in terms of their marketplace, they will build everything in the States, then I believe a lot of manufacturers out here, not only QES Group, but the rest of the players in that field, we will probably have to move into that market sooner than later. You know?
Right. But you're expecting to raise less than 29 million ringgit. Is that going to be enough to fund a US expansion?
No, we're not talking about US expansion as per se.
Or foray into the US market?
Yeah, for us, is basically, we when we expand to those foreign markets, you know, we usually would actually look at appointing distributors or reps. So that is how our own products going outside of the ASEAN base. You know, of course, we distribute our products, our own subsidiaries in the ASEAN companies. That's where we are good at over the last 26 years. But as we move to look into different markets of the world, then probably we have to find some looking to appointing a new distributors or reps to handle some of our products. Mm.
Now, in 2017, more than half of your purchases and revenue is denominated in US dollar. Yet, I understand you do not do any hedging. Why is that?
Okay. Basically, we buy in US dollar, but we sell in US dollar as well.
So you got a natural hedge.
Yeah. Here. So indirectly, it's a natural hedge, except the margins. Then, of course, margins, we can keep it in the US dollars account or we can convert into the local currency that we, for our daily usage, you know. Okay. So the effect is not so significant because it's a natural hedge between the two currency. And you know that we can also get orders in yen if our cost of buying is in yen. So today, in a global trade, I think we kind of manage this in a very natural hedge manner.
Right, but the yen accounts for less than 20% of your purchases, less than 6% of your top line, though. So do you have plans to proactively hedge in the near future?
Yeah, if, of course, there's significant and large amount of orders, for example, you know, so and the margin is not as what we want it to be, then there's a high chance that we will hedge because, you know, to protect our margins and protect any volatility between the dollars and the local currency. But if we require to do a proactive hedging, we could, because we have all the banks, facilities all there already. Mm. And if any big projects come into play that we need to have it in local currency, but the buying or the buying of the products is in US dollars or yen, we will hedge if right. it's significantly big enough.
But do you have an outlook on the, say, the ringgit or the dollar or the yen or anything that you're using for guidance, at least in-house?
In-house, usually we do a little bit of safety currency. So right now, I think the dollar is always hovering around four ringgit per dollar. So in one way or another, it's always between plus minus, you know, 3 to 5% of that. Mm. That is how we manage our hedging.
Now, you also do plenty of business across ASEAN, and revenue from ASEAN countries overtook domestic revenue, I believe, since the last quarter of 2016. So is there a cap as to how much you can generate from within the Malaysian market?
I would think it's the way around, in the sense that ASEAN is the one that's growing faster.
Right.
You know, so, you know, our presence, especially in countries like Vietnam, if you look at the numbers generating out from Vietnam, you know, it's an uptrend, you know, ever since 5 years ago.
Mm. Why is that? Why Vietnam?
I guess
as opposed to Indonesia, Thailand, Philippines, and Singapore.
As I said, Vietnam is probably a lot of foreign direct investment into Vietnam. You know, maybe I would think 8 years ago, 10 years ago, when people talk about China risk, if you can recall. All the Japanese companies that they decided they did not want to put every factories in China because of China risk. Mm. They term it as China risk. So they moved out and they found Vietnam is the right and ideal country to move into. And that's where we actually followed suit, because all these Japanese brought in the new factories there, and inherently that needs our support, needs our expertise. And we generate the business from there. Mm. And Vietnam has been growing ever since domestically. And from there, you can see every year, because the population is huge and also the investment climate is good in terms of manufacturing that's in Vietnam. So you can see. Now, your question is comparatively to, let's say, Indonesia. You know, it's always, I think, it's a huge market because of the population of Indonesia. So I've got great hopes for Indonesia, but of course the last few years I can see it, like, you know, not growing as fast as I want it to be. You know, reason? Well, I guess just my guess. A good guess is most of our products are probably in the EE and semiconductor area. So Indonesia, for some reason, do not attract big multinational semiconductor plants into Indonesia, except for an island in Batam, which is very near to Singapore.
I mean, right.
So it's covered by Singapore anyway. So,
yeah, Indonesia accounts for only about 5-6% of your total revenue since 2015, right, every year. So,
right.
But then in the context of the prospects for QES Group, then do you think there could be some catalysts for more growth in Malaysia?
Yes.
From a policy standpoint, or, you know?
I believe Malaysia as a government is still very proactive in terms of trying to attract foreign direct investment. I believe most of the existing manufacturer, especially in the test and assembly and the wafer fab, semiconductor environment, or even, you know, solar panels and all that, so they are still operating in Malaysia significantly. And those are the areas that our manufactured products are going into. And as you can see and read from our prospectus, we have allocated proceeds to actually develop products, you know, our own products, three major products, the fully automatic vision inspection systems, the automated wafer packing systems, and also wafer ID systems. Those are mainly used in the semiconductor environment. So I strongly believe that in Malaysia itself, there's still a strong demand for automation, for this type of automatic equipment.
You also plan to diversify into other market segments. I understand you want to serve institutions of higher education, petrochemical and pharmaceutical companies as well. Talk to us about those expansion plans.
Yeah, okay. This, as I said earlier on, our three main primary market segments, which is the automotive, the E&E, and the semiconductor. Mm. Now, going forward, you know, we wanted to have another three market segment that we want to focus on, which is a little bit new from what we are doing. I mean, not say per se new. Some of them we already have ventured or got some POs into it. But it's not significant. We don't spend enough time or resources and money into this market segment. But with the IPO proceeds, you know, we're going to get some of this into that market segment. For example, let's say the government institution, the education, higher learning segments, we could probably do a lot of internal seminars among all the higher learning institutions to actually promote the products that we are carrying. In terms of petrochemical, we think it's the right timing. Oil prices has been... You know, compared to, let's say, 3-4 years ago, you don't want to sell anything to the oil and gas people. But today, today you see that they are getting their footings right. And then I believe the right timing to go to that. We have brought in some products to cover that market segment as well. And, of course, pharmaceutical is it's always that I look at, you know, I term it as something that is very different in terms of medical and pharmaceutical industries. So we have some products that can go into that segment as well.
Right. So let's end with this then. Given that you are in a technologically intensive industry, right, how do you stay ahead of the disruptive trends, be it in E&E, semiconductor, automotive, or even the other ones that you're looking to penetrate? How do you stay ahead of the curve?
Okay, that's a very wide, broad-ranging type of question. Now, at the core of...
Because in your prospectus, you mentioned that disruption is one of the risks that your company faces, right?
Whatever disruptions that out there may happen in the near future or in a distant future, I always believe that manufacturers would always have to look into their quality. That is the notion that, you know, goes into the head of every owners of factories or manufacturers, because they need to ensure the products are well-made, quality products shipped out. That is where we come in, because our core expertise is actually in that area. So you look at all our instruments, equipments and all that, besides even our own manufactured products, they're all into ensuring the quality of the products of our clients goes out good. So I think whatever disruption that comes in along the way, we will still have a role in that part of the segment. So I foresee that quality assurance is always there.
Right, but the technology used in your equipment, even the three new ones that you plan to manufacture, that will remain relevant even with these potential disruptions.
Definitely, definitely.
All right. Well, we certainly wish you all the best. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. That was Chiu Ni Weng, Managing Director of QES Group. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.